Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, welcome to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here, and we welcome you as well. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and pick up that phone and give us a call if you have a question on about a particular Bible passage, a problem situation, or you just want to talk about what's going on in the world today. Go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. Richard, we've been talking about the grace of God all month, the fact that the grace of God makes us alive together with Christ, that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the gift of grace which God has lavished upon us in Christ Jesus. We've read about Paul saying, I am who I am because of the grace of God. We have a new identity in Christ because of grace. We have something that is sufficient for us through thick and thin, that every time that we go through trials and tribulations of life, there is the grace of God. And we're going to find that the grace of God is sufficient for us in that particular circumstance. We've also learned that grace is our teacher, teaching us to renounce worldly passions and fleshly desires and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. There's so many people think that grace is a license to sin. Well, that passage in Titus 2 just blows that myth out of the water, doesn't it? So this grace of God is just everything. It's just absolutely everything. And at the beginning of the month, I shared a quote from D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he said, it's grace at the beginning, grace in the middle, grace at the end. And we're going to talk a little bit about the fact that grace is at the end, and it's connected to this word glory or glorification.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about grace and glory today, and we're going to start out with a passage in Romans chapter 8. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Now it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That was God's choice.
Yes.
And if God chooses that, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. And he goes on to say, and those whom he predestined for what? To be conformed to the image of Christ, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So that's our end. That's where grace is going to take us. So grace calls us. Grace justifies us. Grace glorifies us.
Yes.
And we see a wonderful passage to kind of show us that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Yes.
That is the end result of the grace of God for each and every one of us, being predestined to the image of Christ, sharing in his glory. Now, Richard, this is something that you've been studying of late, and I know you have some thoughts that you want to share on this as well.
Yeah. First of all, this word conformed to the image of his son, that word uses for the internal part of it, morphe, or the morphos. And that means that we're being changed from the inside out. And if you recall in Romans 12, it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. That conformed is the word for being conformed from the outside in. So there's a clear choice. You can either let the world define who you are and force you into a mold, or you can let the Spirit of God, the grace of God, change you from the inside out. So let's make sure we've got that.
Yes,
this
indeed.
Is an inside out reality. And so why would we need this? Well, think back to Adam and Eve. I mean, they're created. Everything is perfect. They have face-to-face communion with God. They get to see God in a way that none of us have ever seen him. Moses came the closest, but not even he was allowed to see God that way. And when they sinned, they died instantly. They died spiritually instantly. And that means they lost all the glory of God. Now, the glory of God isn't just light and power. The glory of God is who God is, who he is on the inside. So love and joy and grace and peace and all of this stuff. And yes, he has the power and the light and all of that, but that's not how he reveals himself to us. He reveals himself the other way. Well, they lost that ability, and something had to be done about it. I mean, they were dead spiritually. They were lost in sin. So Jesus shows up, and Jesus lives and dies and is resurrected and goes back to heaven so that the Spirit can come back to us. And what he has done is give us a down payment guaranteeing something, and we'll get to that. In the meantime, remember, Jesus was the glory of God in human form here on earth. So Jesus reflected the essence of God here on earth.
Yeah, like John said, we have beheld his glory.
Yes.
The one, the only begotten who is full of grace and truth.
Yes. So that was what Jesus did. And he solved the sin problem, he solved the death problem, and he solved the spirit problem. And now we get to be the beneficiaries of it. And if you can hold on to this, right now at this point in time, if you're a child of God, you are a reflector of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
Think about that. I mean, that just changes everything, the whole perspective of what the world is about. Are we done? No, because we're promised in 1 Corinthians 15 that we're eventually going to be changed. Either we die and then we're resurrected with new bodies, or our old bodies change. This flesh goes away. God says in Revelation, behold, all things are new. Everything we see around us, everything we're aware of, can measure, can speculate on, is going to be wiped out and recreated. That's when we humans will finally get back to what Adam and Eve lost, and that is the ability to reflect the glory of God himself.
Yes.
Now, we get to reflect the glory of Jesus, because that's how it works now. But it's coming that we will become reflectors of the glory of God. You can't imagine how important that is or what it means even. But here we have Paul, who had spent all these years persecuting and hating, being transformed because he met Jesus, and coming to grips with the fact that he was now a new creation, and giving us the hope of being that same new creation. We're starting here in the small, but still reflectors of the glory, and we're moving on to the end where glory will be from glory to glory, right? From
yes.
glory now in Christ to glory then from the Father himself. That's the kind of transformation God has promised. That is the kind of solution that he created for the sin problem.
Yes, indeed. So that's all initiated and brought forth by the grace of God,
yes.
by the power of God's grace to save us, to make us alive, to give us the Spirit, and then to glorify us at the end mm-hmm. when Christ appears. And
yeah.
we, like you said, we become reflectors of that glory.
And notice how Paul describes this as if it's already true.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is already true.
It is already true.
You know, don't get too much of a headache trying to think about
that.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We're so glad you've joined us as well. Our number is 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, a comment or whatever it might be, go ahead and pick up that phone right now and dial that number toll-free here in the United States and Canada, 844-322-2742. Richard, we have a great resource. You and I collaborated on this. It is a CD series on the grace of God, Grace Defined. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we ask at the very beginning of this month. How would you define the grace of God, and how has the grace of God shaped your day-to-day life? And, you know, you think about it, grace is such a big word, and yet we have oftentimes very small definitions.
Yeah.
And our hope in this series is to expand a person's definition of the grace of God, just for them to see how big and vast grace really is, that it's not just a doctrine, it's not just you know, one and a long list of other things. No, it is it.
Yeah.
It's the it thing, the grace of God. So we want to put this resource in your hands. You can request it when you make a donation to Basic Gospel this month. All the information on how to do that is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click on the donate button, follow all the instructions, and you'll have an opportunity to say to us, send to me this resource, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. So we would love to do that, and I know it's going to be a blessing in your life, and it's something that you can share with others in equipping you to have grace conversations, to be able to ask the question, how would you define the grace of God? Mm-hmm. And let that spark a conversation that can really take you deep into the Word of God and see the Spirit of God do some amazing work.
Yes.
In a conversation like that. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. Go ahead and call right now. We're going to start with a call that came overnight from Clint.
Hi, my name is Clint, and my question is, the word of the Lord will not return to him void. What exactly does that mean? Thank you. Bye.
It's a great question,
yes.
Isn't it, Richard? So what does that mean? God's word goes out, and he says it's not going to return to him void. So what is he saying to us?
Yeah. In a way, this is one of the great promises. What God says occurs. Every time he speaks, something is created. And what does he speak over us? He speaks life over us. And that's not going to return to him void. Whoever responds to that word is going to be changed and is going to bring glory back to God, because God did that. When God judges, it happens. You know, thankfully, he doesn't judge an awful lot, because, you know, I jokingly say God has to be really careful about what he says. Way more careful than I am,
mm-hmm.
because everything he says happens.
That's exactly right. And that's what this passage in Isaiah 55:11
yes.
actually says. It says it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please.
Yes.
So if God speaks something, he's speaking it to accomplish something.
Yes.
So he spoke in creation, and guess what happened? Things showed up.
Yeah.
Things just appeared.
Uh-huh.
There was light. There was the sky. There was the heavens. There was the earth. There was the plants. There was everything that we see. God spoke that into existence. So whatever God speaks, it's going to accomplish exactly what he pleases for it to accomplish. And it says it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Yes.
So if God speaks it, we can count on it.
Yes.
So here's a good example of it. If God says that he's forgiven our sins, guess what?
He has forgiven our sins.
That's exactly right. His word did not come back void. It accomplished exactly what he wanted it to accomplish. And isn't it interesting that Jesus is the Word of God? In
yes.
the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So everything that God wants to accomplish, he's accomplishing it through his word, and that word was made flesh in the person of Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
That's just amazing.
Pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Sylvia, who's listening to us in Fort Worth. Hi, Sylvia. You are on the air. How can we help you today?
My question is, I've heard a couple of pastors refer to Jesus as God, but in my understanding, I've never understood it to be that way. I'm just curious, where in the Bible does it say that Jesus is God? But they're pretty, I mean, I asked them about that, and they said, because he is God. I said, I don't see him that way. I see him as the Son of God. He sits on the right hand of God, but he's not God. So they refer him to as God, is that so?
Well, he is God. He is certainly God indeed. And Sylvia, when you think of him in terms of the Son of God, I don't know if you have children or not, but like begets like. So your children have the same nature that you do, a human nature. So when you're saying that Jesus is the Son of God, you're saying that he has the same nature as his heavenly Father. So they are in essence one. And Jesus actually said that, I and the Father are one. But there are quite a number of passages in the New Testament that deal with this. And the very first one is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So right there, John is making the declaration that Jesus is God, that he's always existed. And as a matter of fact, it was through the Word that all creation came to be. So we see right there in John 1, 1, and then we see in verse 14 of that same passage that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So now we know that the Word is Jesus, and we also know that Jesus is God in those two verses. We see throughout his ministry, he claimed the same name as God the Father. In John 8:58, when he's having this conversation with the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, he said to them, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
Well, that's God's name. That's exactly what God said to Moses when Moses asked him, who am I to tell these people has sent me? And God said, I am has sent you. So Jesus was claiming the same name, which equates him with God. So he and the Father are one. And then I'll share one other passage. It's in Titus chapter 2, and he is saying that it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no and teaches us to live righteous, upright lives as we wait for the blessed appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's a really clear verse that says Jesus is God and Savior.
Yes.
That's who he is. He is God in human flesh. And the Word is very clear on that. Richard, any thoughts?
Well, where we get into trouble is because we know Jesus became a man. And Philippians tells us, Paul writing in Philippians, that he didn't consider equality with God, which he was, something to be grasped, but emptied himself and became obedient as a human, obedient unto death on the cross. Now, that means he didn't stop being God. It means that he never operated while he was here on earth as if he was God. He operated, he says in John, several places, I don't speak unless the Father tells me what to speak. I don't do anything unless I'm told to do it. So he lived in perfect dependence upon the Father, even while he was God and equal, but chose not to be equal while he was a human and chose to live the life of perfect dependence. So we have to have both, because Jesus had to be the second Adam and succeed in that dependence issue where Adam failed.
Yes, indeed. Sylvia, does that help?
Honestly, I'm just going to have to go back and read those scriptures again for myself. I think where I have difficulty is where it says Jesus sits on the right hand of God. So therefore, that for me is where they're separated. I understand he is, you know, part of that Trinity. I just don't see him as God. I see him as my Savior, and God is God, and Jesus is my Savior that God sent for us. So, I'll just have to.
Well, I think if you read these passages, you'll see that he's not only your Savior, but as Paul said, your great God. So what I'd like to do, Sylvia, we have a devotional called Jesus, a 30-day devotional, and we look at all those passages where he claims to be God, and I would love to send that to you, our compliments. It's just a single passage a day for 30 days, and I think you'll really enjoy working through that. So we'll put you on hold and get your information and send this to you. Again, it's Jesus, a 30-day devotional, and it will point you to all the passages in the New Testament that answer that question, is Jesus indeed God? So you hang on, we'll get that to you, and once you read through it, we'd love to hear back from you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hold the line, Sylvia. Well, that's well, just
great question.
Yeah, a great
truly
question, and really, really significant. B has this question for us. She's watching us on our YouTube feed. She says, in my small mind, giving someone even more than they've already taken or loaning to whoever wants to borrow seems unwise. How do we practice Luke 29 through 30 and apply some discernment at the same time? And B, I think the key word in your question is discernment. How
yes.
do we exercise discernment? And I think that's where we're dependence upon the Spirit of God is key. You know, we can have people telling us you need to do this or you need to do that. But really it's a decision that you make as you walk in dependence upon the Spirit of God and trust him to bring truth to your mind and to give you that sense of discernment. And I think you, you know, if you kind of listen to those impressions, those spiritual instincts, you'll have the discernment you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're kind of on your own, and that's a bad place to be.
Yeah, we don't.
We start making emotional decisions then instead of fact-based and spirit-led decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's what that passage says. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. And so I think this passage is really focusing on us, our attitudes, the attitudes of the heart, and not necessarily on the one that we're giving to or the one that has struck us on the cheek or has taken us. So it's talking about our attitudes, and it's actually saying to us, recognize that you have everything that you need in Christ.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to fear what someone may take from you, as if you're losing a part of your identity, as if you're losing a part of your soul. That's not the case at all. You are complete in Christ.
Yes.
And therefore, these other things, you can say, if somebody needs it more than I, then that's going to be a blessing to them. I'm still who I am in Jesus. And even more important, Jesus is still who he is in me.
Correct.
That's good news. That's good news. Well, B, hope that helps. As always, we love answering your questions. Well, we've come to the end of another edition of Basic Gospel. Richard, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow talking more grace, more Jesus, and how the grace of God is relevant in your day-to-day life, and how trusting Jesus is the way God created you to live as a human being. And when you trust him, you're flourishing as a human. So we're going to talk more about that on tomorrow's edition of Basic Gospel. We'll look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, go to basicgospel.net. Let's all join together and start supporting this message and giving generously so this message can get out into the world and people can know about the saving grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.